Tom, we can go ahead and get the light, please. Of course, it's not going to come as a news flash to any of you guys, but you know, cotton producers make their profit by the lint that they grow here. But they can get a little bit of supplemental income from the cotton seed by selling that. Unfortunately, the bad news is that the price of lint has been basically flat or even declining for the past few years here. But the price that you can get for cottonseed has shown some improvement. We've actually gone from a situation where in 2005, a ton of cottonseed was selling for just under $100 a ton. At the beginning of 2008, it was selling for just under $200 a ton. And toward the end of 2008, in some locations, you could actually sell your cottonseed for just under $400 a ton. So there is somewhat of a better story with our cottonseed. So some of the uses that we have for our cottonseed, principally for used as cooking oil, oftentimes in the restaurant industry. It has some pretty desirable cooking properties relative to some of the other vegetable oils. Its fatty acid composition also tends to require less processing than some of the other vegetable oils. And this processing is where the trans fats are generated. And because of that, its fatty acid composition, you can sometimes have a reduced trans fat oil, or even in some situations, a zero trans fat oil compared to some of the other vegetable oils. And many of you guys are aware that in New York City, there's been a ban instituted on the use of vegetable oils containing trans fats in all restaurants in the city. So this is a niche, you know, that cottonseed oil can possibly be used to fill. Whole cottonseed are also used increasingly as a feed supplement in dairy cattle ration. There's some anecdotal information that you can oftentimes get increased milk production when the cottonseed is included in the dairy ration, and possibly even a higher butterfat content of the milk. But I'll say this is just anecdotal information in that regards. So because the cottonseed has pretty much been a stepchild relative to lint in both producers' minds and in researchers' minds, there's not a whole lot of information out there related to how environmental influences or factors come into play in determining cottonseed composition. Now, I'm going to be presenting some seed composition data that we collected from a irrigated versus dryland comparison that I had ongoing for the past few years. In this study, we had two planting dates. We had what I designated as an early planting date, which is basically the first week in April, versus a more normal planting date for the Mississippi Delta, which would be the first week in May. We also had two different soil moisture regimes, an irrigated versus a dry land comparison. And we had six varieties that we had in this study, and these varieties represented a diversity of maturities and breeding programs. We conducted the study for 3 years, 2006 through 2008. I'm not going to be presenting any of the 2008 data for this year due to the fact that we haven't completed all the assays just yet. Our experimental design was a randomized complete block with a modified split plot treatment arrangement. The irrigation treatments were our main plots, subplots were planting dates, and our subplots were our varieties, and we had six replications. Some of the data that we collected on these plots and that I'll be presenting today got lint yield and yield components. Seed gossypol, and both we assayed for both enantiomers of gossypol, the plus and minus form of gossypol, our lipids, total oil, and some of the individual fatty acid concentrations, protein concentrations, and some selected carbohydrates. Now, within this data set, for every trait that we looked at, there was variety variation in every trait that we looked at. However, due to the constraints of time with this talk, I'm not going to be presenting any of that variety data today. There were also interactions present between variety and planting date, variety and irrigation regimes, planting dates and irrigation regimes. But for simplicity with this talk, I'm just going to be presenting the main effect means for our planting dates and our irrigation levels. Generally, the F value for the interaction was small relative to the F value for the main effect, so I'm not going to be getting in too much trouble just by presenting the main effects means to you guys. To put our seed composition data into its proper perspective, I wanted to give you guys an estimate of what our lint yield and our yield components did, just so you can have an estimate of what our reproductive sink size is for these various main effects. Averaged across both years, our irrigation increased our lint yield by 45%. And this lint yield increase was principally due to a 35% increase in the production of bolls per unit ground area. Also in 2006, you'll notice that irrigation gave us about a 7% larger seed mass relative to what we have with our dry land. And so try to keep these things in mind here as we look at some of our seed composition data, because it may help to explain some of the things that we're seeing. We also had a planting date response in 2006. We've got about an 8% increase with our first week in April planting relative to our first week in May planting. And this was principally due to a 5% increase in the bowl size with our early planting. In 2007, numerically, we also saw a yield increase with our early planting, but this was not significantly different at the 5% level. Looking at some of our seed composition data, focusing first on seed gossip haul, averaged across both years, irrigation increased the seed gossip haul concentration by 19%. Now, the majority of this seed gossip haul increase came by increased production of the minus form of the seed gossip haul, as shown by our decreased percent plus gossip haul. Now, the minus form is the less desirable of the two forms of gossip haul. Neither form is desirable, but the minus form is the less desirable. Now, the increased seed gossip haul concentration was slightly surprising to me in lieu of the fact that we had a larger seed size, and I thought there might be a dilution effect that could be coming about here, but we did not see that in this instance. Similar to what we saw with irrigation, early planting increased our seed gossip haul concentration by about 5%, and again that was due to an increased production in the minus gossip haul form, as shown by our reduction in the percent plus gossip haul. Shifting gears and looking at some of our seed oil and protein concentration, irrigation increased the seed oil concentration by 6%, but that came with a corresponding 8% decrease in the seed protein concentration. This is averaged across both years. Now, it's not unusual at all to see the oil and the protein concentration move in different directions. Breeders have seen this for a number of years when they've tried to either increase the seed oil or seed protein content of crops here. Generally, when they've increased one, it's come at the expense of the others. Only rarely do the two move in the same direction. Also, this irrigation response that we've seen here, where we're getting increased oil concentration but decreased protein, it's similar to what has also been reported in soybeans, which is another high oil and protein crop. planting date. In addition to increasing the seed oil concentration, there was a statistically significant shift in the fatty acid composition away from saturated fatty acids toward unsaturated fatty acids. Now, it's a very small shift, but it is statistically significant. Early planting increased our oil concentration by about 2%, but there wasn't a statistically significant change in the protein concentration with that. The reason that we're not seeing a statistically significant protein difference, even though numerically there is a slightly lower level, is that probably we just didn't have enough statistical power to pick up this small difference as being statistically significant. Unlike irrigation, we did not see that the planting date had any effect on the percent saturated or percent unsaturated fatty acid. Irrigation, looking at some of our selected carbohydrates, irrigation decreased our seed stachyose concentration by 10% averaged across both years. Seed sucrose concentration and raffinose concentration was inconsistent across the years. In 2007, irrigation increased our sucrose concentration by 5%, and it increased the raffinose concentration by 4%. But these differences weren't observed in 2006. Planting date gave us a slightly different response than irrigation did in terms of our selected seed carbohydrates. Whereas irrigation decreased our seed stachyose concentrations, early planting gave us about a 4% increase in seed stachyose averaged across both years. Similar to the irrigation, early planting increased our seed sucrose concentrations by 8%. But in contrast to the irrigation effect, the early planting decreased our raffinose concentrations by 4%. So just to kind of conclude, and irrigation increased our seed gossypol concentrations. There was not a dilution effect, even though irrigation gave a larger seed size. Irrigation also increased the oil concentration with the corresponding decreased protein concentration that we've come to expect. Early planting increased our seed oil concentration, but it was a small increase, only about 2%, but we did not detect a significant protein effect. And irrigation gave us a slight shifting of the fatty acid composition away from saturated toward unsaturated. And finally, irrigation decreased seed stachyose concentrations, and early planting increased sucrose and stachyose concentrations. And that concludes my talk. I don't know if I've run out of time yet or not. It looks bad.
We have time for one question.
On 1 year, the seed mass, the individual seed mass was increased by 7%. The second year, we didn't see that response. It wasn't statistically significant.
The question has to do with this decreasing process that you are mentioning, the irrigation. And I wonder if the quantity of protein in the seed remains the same as what increases the amount of oil.
That could very well be true. You know, that would, a dilution effect would explain that. You know, that's the only property that we saw that with. And as I said, this response that we're seeing here with cotton in terms of the decreased protein and increased oil concentration is similar to what they're seeing in soybean for this irrigation response here. So, you know, maybe it's a dilution effect for the protein, but with oil, you got something else going on.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.